You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
If your nation's team was playing a World Cup match, you probably weren't visiting dodgy websites. Concerns mount in the UK that Russia may be readying a long-expected attack on British infrastructure and holding it until the cup is decided. The Australian National University is hacked in an apparent espionage attempt. Data breaches at TimeHop, Domain Factory, and Macy's. Russia calls for international cooperation. And the Marines say it wasn't them on that dating app. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Monday, July 9th, 2018. Enigma Software has found that malware infections are off about 20% in countries on the days in which their teams are playing in the World Cup. The biggest game day drop in malware infection was observed in Uruguay, which saw a fall-off of slightly more than 41%. Other drop-offs in this particular leaderboard were Croatia, down 29%, Mexico, 23%, Sweden narrowly nosing out Belgium, with both countries just shy of 22%, France ahead of Colombia, both just above 19%, Switzerland and Spain coming in slightly over 18%, Germany and Brazil just below 18%, and England at 17%. There's been one exception to the trend: Russia. The country's hosting the games is the outlier, with infection rates actually rising almost 6% on match days. These are, we stress, game day drops, presumably due to people going offline to watch the matches, probably in pubs, sports bars, the dens of friends, and so on. The World Cup continues to provide plenty of fish bait for malicious links, attachments, and so on. Enigma has tracked rising and falling infection rates against significant outside events for some time, and their findings are interesting. Rates, for example, tend to spike during holiday shopping seasons, think Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and they tend to drop during penitential religious seasons like Lent, where observant users of the internet are less likely to go online. There is some concern in the UK that a long-expected Russian cyber campaign directed against British infrastructure is only on hold during the World Cup, and that it will be executed once the games are over. Tensions between the two countries rose over the weekend as the first known death in the Salisbury nerve agent attacks occurred. Don Sturgis, a bystander who was probably an accidental victim and not a target of the attack at all. The UK has opened a murder investigation. Denial of involvement in the sad affair will continue to figure in Russian official and deniable propaganda. The Australian National University reported sustaining an attack on its networks last week. The Sydney Morning Herald says that Australian federal officials have confirmed both that the university's network was compromised and that the attack was mounted from China. The goal would appear to be espionage, but the story is still developing. TimeHop, which resurfaces posts from social media accounts, disclosed Saturday that it had sustained a breach that compromised personal data of 21 million users. Roughly a fifth of those users had associated a phone number with their account. The attackers appear to have accessed TimeHop's cloud environment through an admin account not protected by multi-factor authentication. TimeHop has deactivated all authorization tokens provided by other social networking sites, and users who wish to continue to use the service will have to re-authenticate each social media account to the TimeHop app. Many observers in the security industry have been pointing to the incident as a cautionary tale on two counts. First, what an attacker can do if they get privileged credentials, and second, the importance of using multi-factor authentication. Domain Factory, a large web hosting firm based in Germany, disclosed at the end of last week that it had sustained a data breach. Heise Online reported Saturday that an attacker, who seems to have been interested in getting some sort of unspecified help collecting money he says an unnamed individual, not Domain Factor, owes him. The data exposed are consequential. They include customer names, physical and mailing addresses, telephone numbers, passwords, bank account information, and Schufa credit scores. The hacker began talking about his activities on a Domain Factory support forum, where he was initially regarded as nothing more than a pest, interested in drawing attention to himself. Unfortunately, he turned out to have the goods. To prove that he'd accessed the hosting company's data, he posted samples online. Investigation and recovery are in progress. Macy's e-commerce platform has also sustained a data breach. The Detroit Free Press has reported that the retailer is warning customers that it detected suspicious login activity on June 11th, and that after investigating, the department store concluded that an unauthorized third party had since late April been using valid usernames and passwords to access customers' accounts. Macy's is blocking the accounts it's determined to have been affected until customers can securely reestablish them. As expected and scheduled, the Reserve Bank of India will no longer provide services to cryptocurrency exchanges. This will have the effect of forcing cryptocurrency transactions into cash channels. Russia's President Putin called Friday for closer international cooperation on cybersecurity. Addressing a cyber conference in Moscow, Mr. Putin said, quote, "Cyber threats have reached such a scale that they could only be neutralized by combined efforts of the entire international community. We have repeatedly seen that some nations' egoism, their attempts to act squarely to their own advantages, hurt the global information stability." Mr. Putin demurely left the egotistical nations unspecified. And finally, the U.S. Marine Corps has looked into claims that some of its recruiters were using dating apps to find prospective Marines. And the Marine Corps says no, it wasn't them. So beware, you lonely ones. That winsome gunnery sergeant you just met online may not be what they claim to be.
Hey everybody, today I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Malek Ben Salem. She's the Senior R&D Manager for Security at Accenture Labs, and she's also a New America Cybersecurity Fellow. Malek, welcome back. You have some insights to share when it comes to GDPR, which of course is a hot topic these days, but you all recently published some information to help people navigate what they have to deal with since it went into effect.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just published a point of view on building explainable security programs and or GDPR. We know that most people or most companies are getting ahead with their GDPR compliance, but the new standard now for intelligent enterprises will be to create and maintain transparent and explainable security programs globally and to proactively share them with their customers, employees, and business partners. But building a data collection program that is explainable is easier said than done. So what we listed out for CISOs and security executives is certain steps that they should consider to build such programs. Number one is updating their security operation processes. Building the data collection program that's explainable will require creating new data governance processes and, most importantly, approaching algorithms differently. We know that a lot of, let's say, data erasure requests may involve the use of automated processes, sometimes machine learning algorithms. Under the GDPR requirement, these have to be explainable. So what CISOs should consider is add a human into the loop within those processes, or at least make sure that the process generates a paper trail that explains the conclusion of the algorithm that's being run. The second step we recommend is strengthening consent management frameworks. With each new data item that a company collects, again, under the GDPR requirement, they need to get consent from the owner of that data. So what that means is that they'll have to create a repeatable automated process for obtaining this consent. But what's more critical or a better long-term strategy may be for the chief data protection officer, in conjunction with the CISO, to regularly refresh the company's consent management framework, both inside and outside the enterprise. The third step we recommend is federating and automating erasure processes. We know that companies under GDPR now are liable for data breaches for third companies that they share data with. And by the same token, they're required to honor erasure requests. Either these are the right to erasure or the right to be forgotten types of requests. They have to honor those requests for data that they have shared with third parties. So they need to have a process for that. A CISO would need agile tools to mine the data quickly, to redact it or remove it entirely, and should consider installing security mechanisms such as rate limiting, because if they have a process that would honor those data erasure requests automatically, that process would have extremely high privileges and access to data that is extremely valuable for the company. So it needs to be monitored very well and secured before it purges large amounts of data. And so we recommend at least installing security mechanisms such as rate limiting for that process. And then finally, as the fourth recommendation, recommend to CISOs that they revisit digital trust across their entire ecosystem and third-party platforms. Well, finally, we recommend that CISOs look at the entire cost of ownership under GDPR. We know that GDPR exempts specific types of encrypted data sets from the 72-hour reporting requirement for breaches. So CISOs may be tempted to encrypt more data. That comes at the expense of building an explainable security program when the data is encrypted. So they need to consider the total cost of ownership and the benefits that come, or the reduction of liability that comes with encrypting data versus the longer-term benefit of building an explainable program that will build the resilience and trust they need to keep growing.
All right. Well, it's good advice as always. If people want to find out more, what is the name of the report? How can they find it?
It's the Accenture Security Technology Vision for 2018.
All right. Well, as always, Malek Ben Salem, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.